didn't have food to eat. He smelled so bad. But he became a used time fucker. He was so poor.
Easy, I'm starting the shoe.
Oh, okay, you don't know the name?
No.
What?
No.
Okay.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I wanted to discuss the following halacha, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a question in the poskim, in the Rishonim, is one allowed to be tovel a keli on Shabbos? Now, when I say tovel a keli, I'm talking about in today's terms. When are we tovel a keli tonight? I mean today, when if you receive a keli which was manufactured by a non-Jew or was owned by a non-Jew, even if it was manufactured by a Jew, but then it was he was sold to a non-Jew and he sold it to you. As long as any time it went through the possession, the ownership of a non-Jew, and now it has transferred into the ownership of a Jew, so in order to use it, it has to be tovel. We're talking, of course, about kelim, which are food kelim, made out of metal or glass. So they have to be tovel first. Now, the question is, if one has such a keli, is he allowed to be tovel it on Shabbos? What's the shaila? It's clear in the Gemara that if a person has the keli, which is tameh, in the time when they were careful about tuma and tara, and they kept themselves tahar to the extent that they could, and Kohenim who ate truma certainly had to be tahar to eat truma, etc., etc. So at that time, if a keli was tameh, you definitely were not allowed to be tovelit on Shabbos. One of the reasons is that it makes a tikkun in the keli. It fixes it up. I mean, the keli is in a compromised state right now. It's tameh, and therefore it's not so suitable for use. By toveling it and making it tar, you are being masakin it. You're fixing it up as if it was a keli that had a hole in it, and you welded it, and you fixed the hole, and you improved the physical nature of the keli. So here you improved and enhanced the spiritual nature of it. So that you're for sure not allowed to do on Shabbos. The question is, though, today's toveling is not for tumah v'tara. Today's tovel, because we're not nizhar on tumah v'tara nowadays. We really can't be. It's not. We don't have the ability right now. But today's toveling is for, as I said, if it's came from a non-Jew, it has to be toveled in order. It's sort of a conversion purpose. It has to convert into being a Jew's kli suda from being that of a non-Jew. So the question is that a full-fledged tikkun or not? Why might it not be? Because if you ended up using the keli without toveling it, the food would be okay. That's the rule always. If you have a keli which needs tevila, you had a pot which needs tevila and you forgot, or by mistake you used it without toveling it, the food is still 100% kosher. And you're supposed to eat it. You're not supposed to discard that food or anything. There's nothing wrong with the food. You're not allowed to go ahead and use the keli if it wasn't toveled yet. But if you did, because you were, whatever, you forgot, you didn't realize this keli wasn't toveled, the food remains 100% kosher. Even the food that got cooked in it is now edible and kosher. So since using the keli when it's not toveled is not going to be crucial for the food will still remain okay. So therefore, maybe toveling the kli is not considered a full-fledged tikkun. Okay, Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch says, what a God-fearing individual should not tovel a kli on Shabbos. And if you have a kli which requires tevila, and you need it for Shabbos, and it wasn't tovel, so it says, give it to a non-Jew. Because if you give it to a non-Jew, meaning give it to him as a gift, that he should take physical possession of it, actually make a kinyan on it, lift it up, or become the owner. You gift it to him and he becomes the owner. And then you borrow it from him, because as long as it belongs to a non-Jew, it doesn't need tevila. That's the halach. The halach is it only needs tevila when it had belonged to a non-Jew. He made it or owned it, and then it became the Jew's. It went into the into the ownership of the Jew, and then it needs tevilah. But as long as it's still in the ownership of the non-Jew, or as long as it is currently under the ownership of a non-Jew, then you could use it without tevilah. Of course, normally a non-Jew has kalim, you can't use them because they're not kosher, because he used them for treif. Or you have to assume he did. But here, I know he didn't use it for treif. I had it in my possession until 5 minutes ago. I gave it to the guy so that he should be the owner. And I said, thank you very much for taking possession of this kli as a gift. And now I would like to use it. And I use it on Shabbos as the guys. That's what the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch says to do. The Ramah gives a second possibility. The Ramah says, if it's a keli which holds water, like a pot or a glass, as opposed to a fork or a knife or a spoon, but it's a keli which has a base kibble and has a capacity to hold liquids. So what you could do is you put it in the mikveh and make sure it's totally underwater and tovel, and then you scoop, you remove it from the mikveh full of water. And you take that with you as if you need the water, as if you put it in the mikveh not to tovel it, but you put it in the mikveh to fill it up with water because you need the water. The proof being you're taking it home with water. Now, of course, we're talking about if you're able to go to a mikveh, whatever it is, it's got to be a place where you're able to carry. It's got to be that's within an Erev. So it's within the Erev. So just like you were able to carry the keli to the mikveh, you can carry it home filled with water. So that's what the Ramah says. This way, you don't have to give it to a guy. And you get it toveled without making it obvious that you're being toveled it. And that's okay to do. Since the whole thing is a din kol, because it looks like you're fixing it. It appears like you're fixing it this way. It doesn't appear like you're fixing it up. It just appears like you're using it as a water scoop. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings down from Achronim that if you do that, though, you don't make a bracha when you tovel it. You don't make a bracha when you tovel it because if you make a bracha, then you're making it obvious that you're doing it for a mitzvah. When you go to the mikveh to go over to a source of water to scoop out water for use, you don't make a bracha. So if you made a certainly not a bracha of Tvilas Kelly. So if you made a bracha, you're showing that it's for you're toveling it. So he says you shouldn't make a bracha, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says you definitely should not do this unless you have you mamish need the keli. You have no other keli. If you have another keli, don't do this because this way you end up toveling it without making a bracha. You lost the bracha. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to lose the bracha. If you have to, if you're stuck, you need to use this keli. You don't have an alternative or a substitute. So then the Ramah says, let's say there's no goy around to give it to. So then the Ramah says, take it to the mikveh. As I said, if it's a bowl or a cup or a pot, and use it in that manner. Sorry, I missed that message. And use it in that manner. And then now in the case where you, let's say you did the first idea, you gave it to a guy. Now the guy owns it. He's the owner. You're borrowing it, but he's the owner. So what happens after Shabbos? So if the guy was just somebody off the street who you don't know him, you probably never see him again in your life. So now you could never formally take possession back, because it belongs to him and who knows where he is. So he's not around for you to ask for it back. So you continue using it after Shabbos, but it's technically not yours, but it says you still should tovel it, because since it's going to remain by you in a permanent basis, you should tovel it now. Remember, we're talking about the case where you didn't tovel on Shabbos, you just gave it to a guy and you borrowed it from the guy. Now after Shabbos, tovel it without a bracha. If you know that the guy was your neighbor or something like that, and you know him, so then you can go over after Shabbos and say, would you be kind enough to let me have this keli back? And if he says yes, then you make a keli, you reacquire it. Once you reacquire it, now you can tovel it with a bracha. Now it's yours. So now you can tovel it with a bracha. Now there's one other option that post can talk about. It's not mentioned Shulchan Aruch, but it would definitely be the easiest of all three. And that is, make it hefker. You know, the halacha is if the keli is not owned by a Jew, it doesn't need tefillah. Even if it was owned by a Jew and it required tefillah to use then, but the Jew, just like if the Jew gave it away to a guy and it's owned by a guy. The Jew's allowed to use it with the guy's permission. He's allowed to borrow it without toveling it. So say the Yeshua of its hefker. It belongs to nobody. So it belongs to nobody. Then I should also be able to use it without toveling it. As long as when I pick it up to use it, I don't take possession of it. I just use it. I borrow it from nobody. Now, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this Eitzah. So the Poskim have a machlokas if this is really a valid Eitzah. Why might it not be? Well, maybe this is too much haram. It's one thing he gave it to a guy. Okay, you gave it to him. He owns it. He could really just walk away with it, or he can come back for it. He said, okay, I'll let you borrow it for Shabbos, but after Shabbos, I'm coming to pick it up. I want it. You know, you gave it to him. It's his. So, but Hefker, it's, you know, what'd you do? You said it's Hefker. It's too easy. Like, it looks too fishy. It doesn't look serious enough or real enough. So maybe, or no, you could do it. So, the number of posts can say, halacha l'maaseh, you could do it. If that's the situation you're in, and let's say there is no guy around to give it to, and you can't even bring it to, let's say it's not a pot. It's something that you doesn't hold water, or even if it is something that holds water. I mean, a pot, you don't need a pot on Shabbos. I keep saying a pot. There will be no gear yunt if not Shabbos. But, you know, a bowl or a glass, something like that. But let's say it's not that. So I don't have that Eitzah. Or I can't carry to the mikveh. The mikveh is too far away. The mikveh is out of the Eruv, whatever it is. There is no Eruv. So then the only Eitzah, but then there's no guy around. So then the only Eitzah would be to be mafkarit. And the Maisa, it says you could do that. Many say you could do that. And then for sure, after Shabbos, reclaim it. After Shabbos, reclaim it, take possession of it. And now that you've taken possession of it again, now you have to tovel it. Because it was, it had belonged to a guy. It went through your possession, and that wasn't toveled yet. You made it hefker, and then you reclaimed it. It had belonged to a guy originally. It was never toveled. So you tovel it now, then for sure you can tovel it. And you could use it that way. It says, what happens if somebody just went ahead and stopped? He just tovled his kli. He didn't know it was a shiloh or whatever it is. He just went ahead. Maybe he didn't know it was a shiloh, but he tovled it. He just tovled it. He didn't do any of the eitzes. It was a fork. And he tovled it on Shabbos. That says you could use it. Because even though we learned in the past couple of days that if you did something on Shabbos, you're not supposed to benefit from it. Something else, sir. But here it's a machlokas. The whole thing is a machlokas. There are opinions that you're allowed to do it in the first place. So since it's a machlokas, the Chronim at least lean towards saying that if it was done already, someone did tovel on Shabbos, you could use it as is. Okay. We will pause here and wishing you all a good night. Bye-bye.